Yesterday was the International Day Against Drug Abuse and Illicit Trafficking. It's a day set apart for the last three decades, I believe, to focus our attention on how to reduce and resolve drug abuse and trafficking in our society. Which brings me to our big hard fact. According to a 2022 research article published in PubMed, most Nigerians cannot afford drug and alcohol abuse treatment. The name of the article is Direct Medical Cost of Treating Substance Use Disorders in Two Tertiary Hospitals in Southwest Nigeria, a cross-sectional study. I found that article because my guest today is one of the co-authors. She's an addiction professional. She's a clinical pharmacist at the Federal Neuropsychiatry Hospital. She's here today to paint us a picture about the negative effects of addiction, as well as tell us about the options that are available to help the addicted. Her name is Chinenye Umeche. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Hi, Sandra. Thank you so much for having me.
Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Lagos, we're going to be taking your questions about addiction as well. Call me on 0700-993-993-993. That's for men. Women, call me on 01465-7190. Now, Chinenye, before we go into it, before we talk about the cost of addiction treatment, let's talk about addiction itself. In your clinical experience, is drug addiction on the rise in Nigeria or on the decline?
Okay, so again, thank you for having me. I believe that drug addiction is on the rise. However, access to treatment is a problem.
Okay.
And so we see a lot of people actually trying to come in for treatment at the facility where I work.
I see.
But because we don't have the capacity to take all of them, we always have a backlog of patients who want to come in for treatment.
I see.
So yes, the incidence or the numbers of addiction cases are increasing on a daily, especially because of the crisis that we have in Nigeria, where the economy is literally almost brutal. And most people are not able to fend for themselves or provide for themselves. So they just resort to ways of escaping reality. And of course, that plunges them into addiction.
Yeah. What changes are we seeing in drug use in terms of which drugs are becoming more common?
So because with addiction, you get people who are cashing out on it. So they are willing to experiment because they know that addiction is something that you would always come back to. And so there's a market. So they're always experimenting and creating new psychoactive substances. And people are going to look for cheaper alternatives of getting high. Young people are willing to experiment on literally anything. I would not be focusing on the names of these substances, but I bet you there are lots of concoctions going on. Okay. There are lots of mixtures. People are doing all sorts of things to get high. And of course, sometimes, depending on how rich they are, they are willing to go a step higher and they spend a whole lot of money. And sometimes they go as far as, even when they don't have the money, they can do all sorts of things to get these substances. So the experimentation is there because the individuals themselves are hooked. They can't be satisfied because with tolerance, they want to get pleasure over and over. And then the guys who are trafficking and selling this stuff are willing to get deeper into their pockets. So they're willing to go the whole mile.
When we say drug addiction, most people know exactly what we mean. It means getting hooked on a drug, right? No longer having the power to stop yourself from using that drug. And that includes alcohol, because people forget that alcohol is also a drug.
Yes, it is.
But a lot of people also seem to think that it cannot happen to them. They think it's a question of willpower. Oh, you know, get mind, you know, feet, control yourself, you know, or something like that. So what I want is for you to explain to Lagos, how does addiction work at physical level? Why do people get hooked?
Okay, so Lagos, if you're listening to me, anybody, literally anybody can get hooked on a psychoactive substance, and the reasons are, I mean, pretty easy if I explain them. So a person might want to experiment. So he has friends who are taking, and he's like, come, why are you guys always like this? And then he just goes in and begins to use, right? And that's experimentation. For young people, they are more prone to using because of peer pressure.
Okay.
And so their friends are like, ah, you're not a man, or that, what's wrong with you? We're all doing it. So, you know, why don't you want to? And so they get hooked due to peer pressure.
Okay.
You also have some people who take just to feel better.
Okay.
So perhaps you have a person who has a condition,
okay,
and begins to self-medicate. Hmm. So for instance, a person who is depressed, mm-hmm, might want to use a psychoactive substance to help him feel high, mm-hmm, or stimulated, mm-hmm, or happier.
Mm-hmm.
So they take these happy pills,
mm-hmm,
not knowing that they can get hooked.
Mm-hmm.
You also have people who use because they want to do better, perform, mm-hmm, better. So you've got professionals who are who work really hard and need to meet targets,
mm-hmm,
and so they take, you know, some of these psychoactive substances to make them awake, to make them perform better,
mm-hmm,
or in their words, think better.
Okay.
So these are basically some of the reasons why you have some people getting high. But if you want to talk about the science behind addiction, that's,
yes,
a different thing now. So, mm-hmm, so these drugs that we're referring to are called psychoactive. It means that they work on the brain,
okay,
parts of the brain.
Okay.
Particularly parts of the brain that is able to make you happy.
Okay.
And they also work on the reward system. So what they do is, let's say, for instance, you take a pill.
Hmm.
That is psychoactive in nature,
mm-hmm,
and then when it gets to the part of your brain that releases certain neurotransmitters, that's chemicals that makes you really happy,
mm-hmm,
it's able to release dopamine, that's the neurotransmitter responsible for you feeling, you know, really good,
mm-hmm,
the feel good hormone, right?
And the happy hormone,
the happy one. Yes. And so the person really gets happy, right?
Right.
And he takes one. This pill, of course, look, so certain people have compared the high you get from psychoactive substances to, I'm not sure if I can use the word, the feeling you get when you have intimacy.
When you have sex.
Yes, good. Okay.
Right.
So I'm not sure. I wanted to be sure. So certain people have compared this happiness,
okay,
and they say that it is 10 times higher than orgasm, right?
Okay.
Now, so a person who experiences such levels of pleasure, what, mm-hmm, do you think he would want to do tomorrow?
Right.
He would go back, especially if that particular pill provides that sort of pleasure. Of course, certain people might take certain drugs and they don't get that response.
Right.
And so they keep using until they find the one,
right,
that makes them really happy. So, of,
right,
course, they go back to using. And so what happens is that the drug becomes, let me use the word, the brain becomes used to it.
Mm.
So you'll find that when they take one pill today, it provides them pleasure equivalent to A.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, one pill will not provide that same pleasure. They would increase.
So you keep chasing that very first high.
You keep chasing that high.
Mm.
And then depending on the mode of use,
mm-hmm,
if it's injected, the high comes faster than if it's orally.
Mm.
And so you find that people who inject psychoactive drugs, mm-hmm, get more addicted faster.
Okay.
Than if they're taking orally.
Okay.
Snorting.
Do we have people who are injecting in Nigeria?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, you talk about things like heroin.
But, okay, you know.
So you talk about some of these opioids,
mm-hmm,
that are injected,
mm-hmm,
of course. And then you also have certain groups
we
of
have
people.
These opioids in Nigeria?
Oh, sure, because they are of medical importance.
Okay.
So you have people who are sickle cell patients,
okay,
and require this opioid,
okay,
to for their pain management,
okay,
and unfortunately they also form a large chunk of people who become addicted,
hmm,
to it.
So people who already have a genuine medical condition that they,
yes,
need to treat with these opioids,
yes,
can also become addicted,
yes,
to the opioids.
Yes.
Ah.
Yes. And so you see, there's the doctor has to you know, find that balance, making sure that you don't give this injection to the extent to which the person becomes addicted, and it should be controlled, to be quite honest with you. It has to be controlled. But unfortunately,
That's not happening a lot.
Yeah.
If you just tuned in, hello to you. Good evening. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I have in the studio with me Chinenye Umeche. She is a clinical pharmacist. She's also an addiction professional. And she's talking to us today about Nigeria's addiction problem. Would you say that Nigeria has a drug addiction problem?
Absolutely.
How severe is it?
Okay, so there was a very comprehensive survey that was done in 2018.
Right.
And that report revealed that about 14.4 million Nigerians had used drugs in the past year. And then I think about 3 million are suffering from a drug use disorder. That's a lot.
What's a drug use disorder?
A drug use disorder is the same as addiction.
Okay.
So, I mean, when you say a drug use disorder, that's just a clinical term.
For addiction.
Yes. So before a doctor can say a person has a drug use disorder, he has to meet certain criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so one of which is tolerance. Mm-hmm. That means the person has to keep using at increasing amounts just to, you know, get the same pleasure as before.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you have at least 3 million Nigerians suffering from addiction or drug use disorder.
Hmm.
And one in four of these is a woman.
One in four is a woman, which brings me to my next question. Are there particular demographics who are more prone to addiction than others?
Hmm. Okay, so, this report actually showed that these numbers were between people aged 15 to 64. But you have a whole lot of them being the young ones.
Okay, so on the younger end of that spectrum.
Mm-hmm. And then you have the females abusing some of the oral opioids that we talked about.
Okay.
So you have more women abusing the oral opioids.
Mm-hmm.
And then the males, the young guys, the young boys, are using more of these popular ones that are smoked, you know, cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I see. Okay. So so you have one in four of the drug abusers being women.
Yes.
But that means three of them are men.
Yes.
Why do we have more men abusing drugs?
Hmm. Well, I'm not sure a work has been done on that. But I dare say that perhaps it's due to peer pressure. You have a whole lot young men who are trying to experiment, and you know everybody's, and then you know there's this pressure on young men to meet, you know, certain social or societal standards.
Okay.
And they want to hammer, they want to hit.
Yeah.
And of course, in doing so, they are trying to go into cybercrime. And of course, we have a lot of clients who are into cybercrime using drugs.
Okay.
Because some of these drugs are stimulants and they keep them awake.
Okay.
You also have them using because of peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
What else? And of course, the common one, alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
We have a whole lot of people who are abusing alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be young people, probably because of the societal pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. Okay, now we just came out of rolling lockdowns due to COVID-19. The lockdowns, of course, led to higher unemployment, increased isolation. We saw a rise in unwelcome behavior, like domestic violence, for instance. Was there also an uptick in drug and alcohol abuse?
I would say so. I would say yes. However, again, because of the lockdown, we also had a lot of our clients who were unable to access treatment.
Okay.
But the research shows that once there is a crisis anywhere or there is a health issue, challenge around, people tend to use more.
Okay.
Just a person who is anxious about his tomorrow would want to feel better.
Okay.
So they use.
Okay.
So, research data speaks to that and says when there is this uncertainty about
an economic downturn, war,
or a crisis. Know,
just high stress situations.
Yes,
people
yes,
use.
Yes, I mean, just the mere thought that, let's say, a client who is supposed to come to the facility to access care knows that, oh, there's a lockdown and I can't go to the hospital tomorrow, becomes fidgety or anxious.
Mm.
I want to just calm my
down,
nerves.
Right.
And just take.
Right.
Yeah.
Why does it matter that people are addicted, you know? Why have we as a society decided, okay, this thing is a problem and we should tackle it, you know? Let me put it differently. are there negative outcomes? What are the negative outcomes for the individual and for the society of high drug addiction levels?
Okay, so there are consequences to drug use. I'll first speak on the medical consequences.
Okay.
I mean, because literally, a person who is using a psychoactive substance is causing a lot of damage to his brain.
Okay.
Let me just say also that young people who use drugs are also, what's the word now? They are causing a lot of harm to their brain, because okay. a young person's brain, the prefrontal cortex.
When you say young, what do you mean? What age are you talking
okay,
about now?
That's below 25.
Okay.
Okay. So your prefrontal cortex doesn't fully mature or grow fully until you're 25.
Okay.
So imagine a young person who is using psychoactive substances. Fiddling with that part of the brain,
mm-hmm.
and that part of the brain is responsible for your ability to make sound judgments, mm. make good decisions, you know, being able to function really.
Okay.
It's like the admin.
Ah, okay.
So a young person who is fiddling with drugs at that age mm-hmm. scrambles that signal.
Right.
As when he's 25, he's not able to make good decisions.
Right.
So, I mean, that's one. You also have people who can have cancer due to drug use.
Okay.
People who use a certain type of stimulants can have tooth decay,
okay.
heart cancers,
okay.
lung cancers, eye problems, hypertension,
hmm.
all sorts, really. So there's a lot of medical consequences to drug use.
Hmm.
And of course, you talk about the economic impact. I mean, a person who is using, he is not concerned about his tomorrow.
Right.
All he wants to do is use. And then all his responsibilities, whether it's as a father, as a son, as a wife, as a daughter,
hmm.
he uses all of his money just to purchase.
To get high.
And of course, if it's a person who is a career person, mm-hmm. he's not able to go to work,
mm-hmm.
he loses his job,
mm-hmm.
and of course, he loses his source of income, right?
Right.
So that's on one hand.
Right.
And then drug use goes hand in hand with violence.
Okay.
A lot of the crime that we see, the weird and absurd crimes
mm-hmm.
that we see,
mm-hmm.
are committed under the influence of a psychoactive substance.
I see.
Yes.
I see.
So we should be worried.
Okay. Well, Lagos, let's talk, shall we? 0700-993-993-993. We would love to take your questions about addiction. We would love to take your questions about Nigeria's drug problem. I guess I can say Nigeria's drug problem, because she has said that Nigeria does have a drug problem. Women, call us on 01465-7190. We've got WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. We're streaming live on Facebook. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. I'd love to take your comments off of social media as well. Kingsley Chibi came on Facebook, says, people never afford 3 square meal on a daily, not to talk of drug abuse treatment. The average Nigerian is living and surviving by the will to live. I don't know what that means, but thank you very much for sending your message in. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello. Oh, that's unfortunate. The network isn't very good. We've got a message here from Abe. Abe says, Sandra, our drug addiction is very severe. People now use soft drinks to drink these drugs in disguise. People drink gas, what? Children of less than 12 drink these sachet alcoholic drinks like water.
Mm.
Some parents even buy for their children. Youth are the major culprits. Addictions persist as a result of trying to feel relief from or the depression, challenges on happiness, and ignorance. All right. Thank you very much for your message, Abe. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3. Hello. Hello. Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
Yes,
good to have you on the show. What's your name?
My name is Bayo.
Bayo, you're sounding very far away.
Yeah, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I just want to ask your guest.
Yeah.
What are the measure? Of course, it is established, unarguably, a factual that we are the fudge of this drug addiction manner, right? But my question is that what are the measures, you know, remedial measures being put in place, probably maybe by their organizations, or a kind of psychological trainings, you know, or sensitization given to these to the people involved, because it's a societal problem. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Did you get that question?
If I heard him correctly, he's asking what are the measures my facility is doing, or where I work, rather.
Yeah, to sensitize people, I guess. Yes, yeah.
Okay. So there's a whole lot we're doing at the Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba.
Mm-hmm.
One of those things that we do is we do a lot of sensitization. We speak a lot about substance use. We have a lot of staff who do this, not just privately, but as a hospital.
Hmm.
The hospital, in fact, has an online show that we do. It's called Yaba Voice, where we talk about not just drug use, but of course mental health as a whole.
Hmm.
So we do a lot of that. And of course, we're trying so much. The medical director is doing a lot to make sure that the facility is well upgraded. We're building newer facilities, newer infrastructure. We're putting new things into our treatment centers.
Mm.
And of course, we also have some of our interns at the pharmacy department who do a lot of work in sensitizing young people just like them about drug use.
Some of those interns are here today, by the way. They're in the studio with me, but they're just observing their madam work. But go ahead. Sorry to cut
yes.
you.
So these interns every year, they carry out activities geared towards sensitizing the population. And of course, because it's coming from them, they're talking to their mates. They are more received, so to speak. But yeah, but the Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital does a lot. We also go to radio stations. I'm not sure if I can. There's a particular radio station that the hospital, you know, visits, I think once a month or once in 2 weeks.
Okay.
And so we discuss about addiction in general, and of course how to access care at the facility.
All right. Well, we've got messages here on WhatsApp. Yeah, this one just says, hi, Sandra. You didn't leave a message, though. But Dr. Bimbo Kende Ikeru says, Sandra, can I get a link to this program? I need the contacts of the doctor. My wife is addicted to benzodiazepine and pentazocine. All her thighs are infected. She has huge venous drainage comprising in the lower limbs. Okay, so would you mind if I share your number with this person?
That would be fine. However, of course, he would still have to come to the facility. The,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
He'd still have to come. But if he needs information as to what he needs to do before he comes, that's fine. Sure.
All right. Okay. 99.3. Hello. Well, that's unfortunate. Okay. Well, we have a break coming up and we have to take it. But when we come back from this break, I will take, your messages. I'll take your thoughts. Somebody's asking the side effect of drugs for sex performance. Is that a drug that people get addicted to?
No, unfortunately, they are not. Except because there are some people who actually perform better when they use these psychoactive substances, because they are stimulating in nature.
Right.
But if you're talking about the orthodox medications used to enhance performance,
I don't know. I don't know. He just.
I mean, there are two different
I literally
things.
Read what he literally wrote. I do not know. I am not a doctor or a pharmacist.
There are some medications used to treat what's it called?
Erectile dysfunction.
Yes, erectile
stuff like
dysfunction.
That. Right.
Yes, that's different. Those are not addictive.
Okay.
But of course, a person who takes alcohol tells you he's better in bed, right?
Okay.
That is addictive because alcohol by nature is psychoactive.
Okay. All right then. Lagos, we'll take your thoughts when we come back from this break. I have on the show with me today someone who is a clinical pharmacist and addiction professional at the Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital here in Lagos. Chinenye Umeche has been talking to us about addiction in Nigeria. We're having this conversation because, like I said, yesterday was the International Day Against Drug Abuse and Illicit Trafficking. It's a day that has been set apart for the last 3 decades to focus our attention on how to reduce and resolve drug abuse, addiction, and trafficking in our society. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, S. Ezekwesili. Don't go away, because when we come back, she will be talking to us about what the signs that relatives should look out for are, to help them them know that a relative they care about is addicted to drugs.
Nigeria Info, we'll be right back.
Good evening. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. I have on the show with me a clinical pharmacist, an addiction professional from the Federal Neuropsychiatry Hospital, Chinenye Umeche. And she's talking to me about addiction in Nigeria. How severe is Nigeria's drug addiction problem? She says pretty severe. She says the demography is between 18 to 64. 54 or 64?
15 to
64. Oh, I'm sorry. I was being generous. So 15 to 64, you have, for every four people you meet, three of the men in that group.
Using already having drug use disorder or addiction.
And one of the women in that group is also using drugs. And, you know, she talks about, well, anybody can get addicted to drugs. Anybody can, start to abuse drugs. She says women abuse opioids more and men abuse, well, everything else on the spectrum. Now, before the break, I mentioned that I was going to ask you how people can spot that someone they care about is abusing drugs, because a lot of the time friends and relatives of someone who becomes addicted to drugs say that they didn't realize that there was a problem until very, very late in the day. So what are the signs that we should be on the lookout for, you know, for people we care about?
Okay, so again, I'd like to say that literally anybody can get addicted. All it takes is just one use and you're hooked. Surely, if it provides pleasure for the person, I mean, anybody, a pharmacist, a doctor, a banker, anybody can get addicted. But what are the signs that you should look out for if you suspect someone is hooked on drugs? So one of those things is when the person begins to neglect their major roles. They're no longer able to meet up with the demands, or you find that this person has social problems. He's not interacting well with people. He's, always trying to avoid people. And then he's always, no longer doing the things that he used to do, which was pleasurable. Because what the drugs do is that they give you a heightened sense of pleasure so that you no longer pay attention to those things which you used to enjoy doing, because they no longer provide as much pleasure. Remember the comparison between pleasure from addiction to orgasm? It's the same thing. So if, for instance, I like to eat goat meat and I begin to use drugs, I will no longer get that sort of pleasure.
Get the pleasure from goat meat
would be diminished because I have seen a higher pleasure.
Right.
And so you see people who are no longer able to do those things they found pleasurable before. Of course, you also have people who would use this substance even in the face of the consequences that it provides, it gives them. So a person who, you would see a person who has, let's say, lung cancer from smoking, and he would, I mean, he knows that this is from smoking, but he would still use. And so we call that hazardous use, right? You also have people who spend more time on using. And also, if you see some young men who smoke cannabis, for instance, you see they have bloodshot eyes, right? I mean, their eyes are red.
Right.
Always red.
Right.
And you're asking, what's wrong with your eyes? Oh, it's dust. Oh, no, it's dust. Or somebody put hand in my eye.
Right.
There's always one story. And people who use always lie. They always cook up one story or the other. So you're asking him, what of the money I gave you last week? It should be enough. Oh, a boss hit me on the leg and then the money disappeared. And then something. You also have people who experience withdrawal when they are not using. So withdrawal is one of those things that the drug uses to confuse people who use. So when a person is using and then he attempts to stop, he would experience what we call withdrawal symptoms that can sometimes be very painful. Symptoms such as, let's say, sneezing or teary eyes or shakiness or aggression or inability to control their mood. And the only time those symptoms would resolve is if they just use.
Hmm.
So it's a cycle, it's a vicious cycle.
Hmm.
You don't use, problem. You use, it's a problem. So addiction is a vicious cycle that never ends, really.
I see. So it's one thing to know what to look out for, the red eyes, the non-enjoyment of things they used to enjoy before, etc., etc.
And want to, aggression.
And want to help. It's another thing to know what to do. So if I believe that someone close to me is addicted to drugs, what should I do to help them? How do I intervene successfully? Successfully being the important part of this question.
Mm. Okay, so before I speak on what to do, can I speak on what not to do?
Sure, yes, yes.
So don't stigmatize, okay. Don't shame. Confrontation doesn't really work, okay. Except if it is done in a controlled and under professional guidance.
Okay.
So, which we usually do sometimes in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not direct confrontation, but mm-hmm. just to clarify stuff. And then one thing that I must emphasize not to do is it's not a spiritual problem.
Hmm.
So taking to church and doing deliverance, I'm a Christian, but I don't think it doesn't work. It's not evidence backed.
Right.
It's not evidence. There's no evidence supporting that.
Right.
So one thing that you can do to help is to seek professional help.
Right.
By going to a facility that provides treatment for addiction.
So not a church?
Not a church.
Not a mosque?
Not a mosque. Not,
not a praying center? Not a Babalawo's house?
Not the Babich.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, you get the point.
Yeah.
So take the person to a hospital that offers treatment for addiction, like the psychiatric hospital. You also have facilities, hospitals that have psychiatric departments, like Louvre and a couple of other facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Or a rehab. So you have private rehabs or rehabs that are funded by NGOs, or even I know that there are a couple of rehabs that have gone through faith-based rehabs that have gone through training with the hospital where I work.
Mm.
So they know the extent to which they can provide help. And some of them actually bring psychiatrists and addiction professionals to help.
Hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Yes. So you have facilities such as those to take them. It's not by locking them up or chaining them to a tree or beating them up. Because I saw a video of somewhere in the southeast of a young man who was using one of these stimulants.
Mm-hmm.
And then they chained him to a tree and they were beating him telling him, you must say you're going to stop using. You must say, I swear that you'll stop using. Of course, what do you want him to say? But trust me, I know.
He'll probably get out of there and go and use to
the
calm down.
The minute you release him,
mm-hmm.
he will go and use.
Hmm.
He would go and use.
Lagos, join the conversation. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. What questions do you have about addiction? What questions do you have about helping people you care about overcome addiction? Which brings me to my next question for you. Chinenye, talk to us about treatment. Now, you've talked about your facility quite a bit. What are the therapies available? What are the treatments currently in use in Nigeria to help people get off drugs?
So addiction, unfortunately, is a behavioral disorder.
Okay.
And that simply means that there is no pill that you can use to stop addiction.
Okay.
So because it's a behavioral disorder, a lot of what we do at the hospital are behavioral therapies.
Right.
And it means that we engage the psychologists to constantly provide group sessions, group therapy for our patients. We also do a lot of what we call CBT, that's cognitive behavioral therapy.
Okay.
We also do a lot of occupational therapy because most of these people who use drugs have literally lost their ability to work or engage in meaningful work.
Okay.
We teach them newer ways or better ways to engage themselves, to avoid boredom, which is a major reason for them to use. We also teach them how to spend their time better, how to manage money. So it's a lot of behavioral work that goes into it. We also have lots of social workers who do good work because they have to go to their environment where they're coming from, assess the location, see if it's fit for them to go back there when they are discharged from the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what we do is talk therapy, really. And it's constant. And because addiction is a chronic condition, that means it's a long-lasting thing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't go away tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
A person who is addicted is always in recovery.
Right.
You can never literally, even if you've been in recovery for 15 years, mm-hmm. you can't say you are healed.
Because all it takes is one thing.
All it takes is just one trigger.
Yeah.
One trigger. And you either lapse or you relapse. So lapse is just a one-time use.
Okay.
A relapse is a full-blown
regression.
Regression.
Lagos, let's talk. 0700-993-993-993. Hello, good afternoon. Thanks for calling us. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling.
Good afternoon. Abby, who is low on the line?
Welcome, Abby.
Yes, actually, I really find that topic very interesting, and your guests have really expatiated better on it.
Okay.
But my own contribution is that, you see, this thing is why this thing is rampage is because it's accessible to any of these people who have find themselves in this thing.
Okay.
Because it's everywhere. They can easily get it. And these are where government should have looked into, because you will find some people by the roadside who sell all kind of drugs, who doesn't study pharmacies. You find them by the roadside, sell different kind of drugs around, and these people can easily get access to it. And these are where government should have looked into and clamped down on these kind of people. And everybody needs to be creating more awareness, just as we are doing now, to let them know the danger of these drugs, addiction. Because I myself, in my own way, I actually do some small cartoons on as much as I can, at least to pass a message on them to
That's
people
nice.
How they can really understand what addiction is all about, which I tag the rise of society monsters.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So all these things are part of what we should do. At least to let this thing out of the society. At least reduce it.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. 99.3, hello. And well done. Thank you for what you're doing. Hello. Thanks for calling us.
Hello.
Hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3, hello. All right. Give us a call back when you can. Someone from Ajah is asking me about a drug that he uses with his wife. He's having to use that drug a lot now because he has problems with his wife. And he's asking about the side effects of this drug. I think you should have a conversation with your medical doctor if you're worried about side effects of the drug. Or pharmacist if you're worried about the side effects of the drug. You can also read the leaflet that the drug comes with. The side effects are often written on the leaflet, and if you know, and then speak with your doctor, because no medical professional I bring on air is going to have a conversation with you about any medication you're taking or any condition that you might have. They're not going to do that with you. It's against their ethics. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra, please, Sandra, please don't cut me up. I have been trying to reach you in this line. I have a case of someone I want to take to Biokuta Arrow tomorrow. So I've been trying. I don't know. He is on a substance. In fact, he's my sister's son. So I don't know if it's possible to take him there, giving him drug, something that can make him sleep, so we can take him there. He's just got to make me tune into this program. I don't know if you can ask your guest. I don't know the kind of drug so that he can sleep, because it's somewhat violent. Valen. So yesterday we got a news that he was dancing dancing somewhere where he took the drug, and they were playing they were drumming for him, and he was dancing. So it has really gotten out of hand. I don't know how, if it's possible to get something to get him if he can to make him sleep through the journey, so we can take him to Abeokuta, the neuropsychiatric hospital Abeokuta.
Okay. Thank you for calling. Keep listening. I'm sure the pharmacist. What do you think should happen here?
Okay, so what your caller is asking is names of medications to sedate this patient.
Yes.
Which I cannot tell you on air. So
right.
I'd rather that you have to be creative in getting him to the
to
facility.
Sleep, right.
As long as he's your relative. I mean, I don't want you doing anything illegal to someone who is not related to you.
Right.
But you need to take him to a facility. You need to find a way to take him to a facility.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to come on air and begin to tell you all the tactics that many relatives have done. Because, look, let's be honest. I mean, this condition is not malaria.
Right.
Malaria, you know, oh, I've got a headache.
Mm-hmm.
I have a fever.
Mm-hmm.
I literally know that I'm ill.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys, their reality tells them that they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And did I tell you that some of these drugs can actually cause psychosis?
What do you mean?
Okay, so you have some of these medications, these psychoactive substances that mm-hmm. work on certain parts of the brain
mm-hmm.
that make you begin to hear voices of people okay. that are not there.
Okay.
You also have some of these drugs that would make you begin to act aggressively okay. and violently
okay.
or even begin to have delusions. I mean, I remember a client who started smoking cannabis and he started telling people that he was the husband of the Queen of England.
Okay.
And that he's a very influential person.
So it gives you like a personality that you didn't have?
Not a personality. It makes you have what we call grandiose delusions. This imagination or feeling that you are bigger than what you are or that you have a lot of money in your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
That's a symptom of psychosis.
I see. Okay. Let's come back to this one. Someone says, I want to divert a little. We have some addicts in the area of sexual stimulants because it does much of the high feelings. How harmful can this be? This person's talking about being addicted to inhaling fuel.
Mm.
They had to stop at some point. This person's also saying that they realize that boredom also contributes to addiction. There wasn't a question there, really. So that's the second person asking me about sexual stimulants. Again, speak to your doctor. Peter Yorinde from Anthony says, Madam Sandra, this interview hasn't given us much in terms of correction and if there are facilities that are free to bring people in to detoxify and rehabilitate. I belong to a Catholic charity society where we reach out a lot to people who have different issues. We found that 1 in 5 homes has a child draining their resources to keep up addiction. So empowering the family is an issue. We've taken some to the hospital and the least fee to admit is $150K. There's faith-based that she talked about and the most common is the one with branches in Ekpe and Ikeja. Monthly fee for a patient is around $50K. Some don't leave the facility because their structure is not secure to cut off drug supply as their low-rank staff supply the patients and admin turn a blind eye since the patients remain a money machine. Where is a government free treatment center, please? Wow, a lot packed into that message there.
Okay, so he says that he needs information about facilities that are free.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a particular facility. I think it's a faith-based, if I can mention the name. I think
sure.
House of Refuge
okay.
or something. If I'm not mistaken, I may be mixing it up.
Okay.
But there's a free, I know there is free, but they have only 2 intakes per year.
Oh.
So they take twice a year.
Yeah.
And once you're not taking that time. They mm-hmm. you can't come in until the next batch.
It's done.
Because it's free.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's this other man who is a pastor. He picked up one young lady at one point.
Right.
His name keeps running away from my head. I think his facility is also free.
Okay.
I think it's Tony or something. I can't remember.
Okay.
Rapu.
Tony Rappo?
I think so. I'm not sure if he's free.
Okay.
But yes, even though that my hospital is a government hospital,
mm-hmm.
I believe that we are so far the cheapest.
Okay.
And even at being the cheapest, mm-hmm. it is still very expensive.
For a lot of people.
For a lot of people. Unfortunately.
I hate that we're out of time. I honestly wish we could keep...
6 already?
It is, I know. And Lagos is calling. Lagos has a lot of questions. So I'm thinking we need to come back and talk about, you know, addiction. We need to have this conversation again.
That'd be nice.
So what will happen is, when we're done here, we'll plan it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll have you come back. And all we're going to do is take questions from the public.
That's
and we'll try to answer as honestly as we can. But you have to remember, Lagos, she can't give you prescriptions on air. She can't, tell you what to do with your loved one, you know, except, of course, to take them to a medical facility where they will get the help that they need. But I do have to ask before you go, are there programs that help subsidize some of these costs? You know, because when we started, I told Lagos that the paper you co-wrote talks about how expensive substance use disorder treatments are. So short answer, are there programs that people can tap into?
To the best of my knowledge, mm-hmm. no. And unfortunately, addiction is not covered in insurance, health insurance.
Mm.
So no.
So there's a policy gap there that needs
There is a policy gap.
Okay. Indeed. The next time we have her back, we'll talk about what the government could do as far as that policy gap is concerned. But Chinenye, you've been such a pleasurable guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And Lagos, stick around because from 6:15, we're going to go to our newsroom for some of the biggest stories that broke last week. Don't miss it. Ufuoma and Agogo will be here bringing you some of those big stories. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, S. Ezekwesili on social media. I will be back tomorrow with the big three, also bringing you the big hard fact where we take a look at the biggest political stories in the country. Those were your hard facts. Lagos, good night.